What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Stuff on this microphone is just disgusting.
Well,
and I wipe it down too, and there's still just stuff
gross.
On it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Gross. You should have seen my little section yesterday.
Brutal?
Brutal. Just bad. It's all right.
It's all right.
Okay.
So this David Fizdale firing yesterday caused a lot of people to be surprised.
Come on, man.
As the Memphis Grizzlies ended up getting rid of Fizdale and naming what's-his-face Bickerstaff.
J.B.
Yeah, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah, son of Bernie.
The interim coach. I mean, they had lost, what, 8 in a row? It was just brutal after good start.
Mm-hmm.
But it really came down to the benching of Marc Gasol, their star big man, and how that was handled and how Gasol was all ticked off about it.
Yeah, it was against the Nets, I believe. They sat him in the second half, or a good portion of the second half. He wasn't reinserted into the lineup when they were getting beat down.
You were watching that game, Mikey B?
I did, yeah.
When you saw him get benched, did you think it was going to be such a big deal that the coach might get fired for it?
Never crossed my mind.
Right. So that just shows you right there. Mikey B, big NBA guy, watches all this stuff. That's how much of a surprise the Fizdale firing was.
How did Gasol play in that game?
He dominated.
So why are you sitting him if he's dominating? And now there's apparently been a fracture in this relationship for a while since Fizdale took over, but Gasol adapted to the new strategy of Fizdale, but they were never really on speaking terms. I guess you have to be at some point with your head coach, but never personalities clashed, as they say.
So this reverberated around the NBA, and I don't know why LeBron James has to insert himself into everybody's business now. Like, I just don't get this. Now, I guess everybody goes to him and asks the questions because they're getting these comments, but you know, he's talking about who the Knicks should have drafted and what the Grizzlies should be doing with their head coach, and he spoke about this yesterday and also tweeted about it,
too. We won a championship with Fizdale.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't understand. But it's not his business anymore.
So if people stick a microphone in his face, he should say, I'm not privy to what went on there. I know Fizdale. I like him. Leave it at that.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't look good. And then the whole Knicks draft thing that he was getting into and who they should have drafted and didn't draft. Like, shut up already. Now, he also tweeted out, I need some answers. Feels like my man was a fall guy. Is what he said. But anyway, this is LeBron talking about the Fizdale firing.
By everybody in the basketball world besides who pulled the trigger.
Can you process it?
I cannot. And it's funny that I just said that quote this morning about Philly, about how people want overnight success right now, and you know, everybody want instant oatmeal, and they've allowed Brett Brown here to be able to just give him time. Give him time. I don't know the details of it because I'm not around, but I know the type of coach Fizz is. I know how players relate to him, and I know what he stands for. And he don't stand for no. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was because he ain't gonna kiss nobody's ass. I know that.
Well, that's a good answer there. I don't know the details of it, but I do know Coach Fizz and what he's about.
Yeah, but he also said, you know, that the beginning of that was how he surprised he was, and then he said, I need some answers. It feels like he's the fall guy. He did say a lot other than that. He could have just left it at that, which I don't know the details of it. And to me, it's nice to have people come to your defense and everything else, and it probably was not the right thing to move on from the guy, and he seemed to be intense and no basketball. He'll land on his feet somewhere, but like, what does it really matter in the Western Conference right now if David Fizdale or J.B. Bickerstaff is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies?
It doesn't
matter. It just, so that's why, I mean, that might even be more of an argument that you don't make a change. But like, and the players have all the power, and it's just ironic to me that, so Marc Gasol's the guy who got a guy fired, but like, you know, Chris Paul, who's been sitting on that banana boat for with LeBron James for the last decade. It's fired like 50 coaches. LeBron sent David Blatt back to Transylvania, you know. But this one's a problem, right?
Oh, yeah, who is Marc Gasol?
This one's a problem.
He should have that type of power.
Right. You know, Carmelo Anthony loves him. Gets coaches fired. All his buddies get coaches
Only
fired.
Only certain people are equipped to get coaches fired.
Right.
Or should be equipped.
But Marc Gasol, the big European that's not...
That's right.
You can't
get him fired over there, not over here, okay?
You can't fire my guy.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
Give me a break.
He's correct. Marc Gasol, you don't do that to Coach Fizz.
You think he's right? Are you being facetious? I can't tell anymore.
Hey, man, we know how the NBA works these days. If you're a superstar and he's one of two all-stars on that roster, Conley's the other, Mike Conley, and he's going to have some say in how this franchise goes. He has a cozy relationship with the owner, does Gasol. And so, yeah, I think if you feel like an owner saying, I had nothing to do with this, this was all about management making this move, and if you have an unhappy camper who's one of your best players, even though he's an aging player, you make moves like this no matter who they are.
LeBron just, come on, with the self-awareness now. I mean, David Blatt is coaching the Dar es Safaka Doge right now because of him.
But
Gasol gets Fizdale fired.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
How many championships has LeBron won and how many has Gasol won? Gasol hasn't even sniffed one.
Oh, okay, but it's still about star players in the NBA. Yeah, and whoever, true. If you have the poll. Well, he didn't say it. Chris Paul's never won anything. Carmelo Anthony's never won anything. Those guys are labeled coach killers. Those are his buddies. I didn't see him standing up for those coaches.
Those are his buddies.
Yeah, right.
Stand up for your buddies.
But this is fine. But this is why you can't come out now. It just you look hypocritical.
That's why the last part of his statement was proper, and he should have stayed right there in that little space. Not the earlier comments.
Yeah, and he'll land on his feet. Someone's going to hire the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. It might be the best thing for him.
Yeah.
As he's now available at this point, you know, he'll be sitting around. He's probably still getting paid. You know he's still getting paid.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, it'll be another slew of jobs open. He'll be able to sit there and pick which one he wants.
Who has it better?
Take that for data.
Yeah, who has it better than these coaches, man? You get paid to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, where else does that happen? I mean, sometimes you get these golden parachutes and certain companies, but man, these coaches. Jim Moore, $12 million to leave UCLA. Okay, thank you.
Well, the Sumlin one, too.
Sumlin, Coach Sumlin, he's owed $10 million.
Yeah, I wonder how that really feels, though. You know, because of course it's great.
Well, you're upset because you didn't finish the job, you weren't successful in your work, but you get paid. I mean, you will get over that, I would think, at some point, and go sit on the beach somewhere and count your.
Yeah, these guys are wired, though, in a way where it's like they're going to be like a bad taste left in their mouth. I failed.
True. You don't want to be a failure. Right. You're exactly correct. You've been doing it for a long time, and you were damn good at your job. That's why you were able to get such a rosy job at a big-time program. So now to be shown the door, yeah, that stings. That hurts.
And another thing with this Fizdale firing that I want to point out, and I will point out several times during the NBA season, is how people always talk about the NBA regular season now means nothing because you know he's going to win the championship. There's been so many stories that have come out of this regular season already that have been interesting stories in the NBA that people are following. So you can't give me this because we know the champion thing. The regular season means absolutely nothing. No. I mean, even this story here, I don't think it means much to the NBA. I mean, it's people are talking about it. LeBron's giving sound bites. It's just a storyline.
The upstart 76ers.
Yeah.
Even though they lost last night to LeBron and the Cavaliers, you have Lonzo Ball and what's going on with the Lakers.
I mean, the Knicks have been a story, and LeBron was a part of that as well.
The Knicks as
even
well.
Even though they lost last night, and they were down 26 at one point.
Yeah. And so, there have been numerous stories this season, and that's why you tune in and look at the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard. And Tony Parker, I guess he's supposed to play he played last night, yeah. And Kawhi Leonard's still out. So, there are some good stories out there.
Yeah. So, and the Cavs are rounding back into shape now.
Yes, they are. Who was worried? Raise your hand if you were worried.
Well.
No, you weren't worried.
You weren't
concerned.
No, not really. No. I mean, they kind of did the same thing last year where they didn't play any defense. And LeBron, it was one of the funniest memes or Photoshops or whatever you want to say that I had seen in a long time is someone had, remember that game that the Cavs-Knicks, the Neil Akina, Enes Kanter game, where LeBron was like all fired up and they came back. So they had a picture of like all the Knicks championship banners and everything. And then they had 2017-2018 made LeBron play defense in November, which I thought was just genius, and raised it to the rafters. You know, so
LeBron always plays defense.
Oh, no, he does not.
Man, LeBron
not early on in the season.
He will slap he turns it into, when he wants to.
But there are times in the regular season, especially early on, where it's like just it's like a petri dish is what he's using. It's all experiments under the microscope. I'm trying this, I'm trying that. There's all different things. It's an experimental lab is what's going on with the Cavaliers, and I don't think he plays a lot of defense.
Woo!
I don't think he plays defense in November. Like, you'll see him play defense on Christmas Day in the national TV game. You'll see him play defense there. But and then in the playoffs,
LeBron
he's great.
He's been on the all-defensive team, hasn't he?
He's a great defender. My point is that there are nights that he'll take, especially early on in the season, he'll take off. There's just no doubt about it. And I, quite honestly, I don't blame him. I really
Why not?
I don't blame because it's a long season.
Yeah,
all the minutes
a long
he plays.
You're supposed to play defense every night.
Well, it doesn't happen like that anymore.
You should blame him.
Well, he's got to play a ton of minutes. Would you rather have him in the game and what he could do offensively and taking a breather on the defensive end, or sitting him for long stretches during the game to get a breather because
that's
he's
a false argument. No,
giving all
you're
up.
On the court. You play defense. You play offense. You do both. Old guys did both.
Oh, here we go.
Barkley did both.
I can't do that.
That's why they have a statue of him in Auburn. Sure. He did both. Jordan did both.
Sure, all the time, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Defense, offense.
Here goes the NBA nostalgia stuff again.
Yeah. You didn't see it.
Yes, I did.
No, you did not see it. You've seen some videos, some highlights.
I'm not that young.
Yes, you are.
Well,
you're a baby.
You don't watch today's NBA.
Yes, I do. Now.
Right.
Every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me they don't play defense.
I'm saying that LeBron, I was talking about one specific player early on in the regular season, doesn't use his full defensive capabilities in every regular season game.
Jordan did every game. From the first regular season game to the last.
Of course he did, yeah.
Yes.
Every single game, every possession.
Yes.
I swear, like in 10 years, these guys, we're going to be talking about them like the Greek gods.
Like they should. Jordan should be canonized right now. What are you waiting for?
St. Jordan.
What are you waiting for?
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't think the NBA has ever been more popular than it is right now.
Sure it was. Yeah,
truly
back in
believe
the late
that.
70s, early 80s.
I think it's more popular now.
Because
you got to think about globally, too.
Oh, Jordan. Man. Did you see when they went to Spain? Did you see when they went to the Olympics?
You're going to be able to stand up in the break talking about Jordan?
Did you see how the people crowded around the buses there during the Olympics when you had Jordan and Barkley and Magic and Bird? Did you see that?
Time out.
They don't do that to these Olympians today.
Okay, because they've got their own players. We think about they have a museum for Stephon Marbury out there now. I mean, enough said. Think about that. And they got that young kid on the Rockets now from China. You know him?
No.
Yeah, this guy's unbelievable.
Is he that
good?
What
he can do.
Oh, really?
Real young, though. Super popular. Mikey B's going to give you his name.
Okay.
Watch. I'm telling
you. That's how popular he is.
I don't know his name. I'm talking about popular. Out there. It's like that.
He's popular in China.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Mike. Give me his name.
Ouchie.
Who?
I'm looking at how it says it's pronounced.
Nochi?
Joe Chi.
Okay, Joe Chi.
Popular.
Of course he's popular in
his name.
His
name isn't Joe.
That's how it's pronounced.
Nobody's called
Joe Chi.
Joe, maybe. Maybe Joe.
Joe?
Not Joe. It was Joe Chi.
You know.
Joe Chi is like a mechanic. You know, it's like Joey Chiazzo.
Zoqui?
I think it's probably Chi, but I don't know.
QI?
Will you ever see him play? Amazing.
I have not, no.
He got into a game recently.
QI, right?
He was in that Knicks game when they got blown out. Remember that game? They got blown out by the Rockets. They put him in. Unreal.
Zoqui.
Which one?
Zoqui.
The one that I watched. The one, not the... Did they play since?
They got blown out because they don't play defense. Boom. Rest my case. Karl Malone played defense and offense.
Here we go.
John Stockton played defense and offense.
No titles.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they played offense and defense. Yeah. Sidney Moncrief played offense and defense. Bob Lanier, offense and defense. Bill Cartwright, offense and defense. Charles Oakley, offense and defense.
NBA Keep up great. With the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Canell and Bell. Or is it Bell and Canell? Hold on. It's
Canell and Bell.
Canell yeah. and Bell.
Shocking, yeah. huh, Brian?
Yeah, Canell yes. and Bell.
Mm, rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Put the white guy first.
Yep.
Well, that's of course. Duh. Gio and Jones. Come on. We know our place.
Yeah. Well, it does have a better ring to it. Well, this one, they could have done Bell and Canell.
Off the bench with Canell and Bell.
Oh, off the bench.
Mm.
But they just couldn't call it Canell and Bell. They had to give it some stupid sports thing, right? Off the bench.
Out of the locker room right. with Gio and Jones.
Right. Like in the end zone. At the 50.
At the concession stand with Gio down. And Jones.
The afternoon drive. Oh, sorry.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not actually. Are they going to really call that show
That's
then?
That's what it's called, I believe.
What's that?
The Mike Francesa replacement show is the afternoon drive.
Oh. Oh, really? Mm. That's original.
The morning drive. Mm. They have that, too. Don't they have that on Sirius? Isn't that the morning?
They have the morning drive. They have the opening drive.
Oh.
They have...
The long drive?
They have two shows called Press Pass. One on the NFL channel, one on the NASCAR channel.
Drive off a cliff.
And there's the afternoon blitz. Well, what's it called? Moving the chains in the afternoon. Excuse me.
Moving chains?
Moving the chains.
Moving the chains. Oh.
Kill me already. Mm. Jeez, the name of the show.
Target and a mob follow. Gio and Joe.
We should just, for the last month, we should name this show something obscure in sports.
Third and long.
Substance abuse policy. With Brian and Craig.
Oh, man. Stuck on crack.
Yeah.
Welcome. With Pookie and Ray Ray.
Well, that's not sports,
right,
though.
They're like fourth and inches. Right. No, one of you is fourth and one of you is inches.
Yeah, I'm inches. Brian's feet.
Yeah. This has been confirmed many times.
How about concussion protocol?
I like that.
It's the concussion protocol podcast.
We're taking them in the tent. You know, the sideline tents?
Yeah, inside the tent.
Inside
yeah.
the tent.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So, in the ice tub with Gio and Joan.
No. This game.
I missed the ice tub.
All right. I can't. I've got nothing else that's good
enough. Trainer's room.
Trainer's room. Mm-hmm. CTE
in the AM. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to. You have to go E at the end. Yeah, well, welcome to CTE.
WNBC.
Jeez, why do they always have to do this?
I knew
these
that was
names of these
nuts.
Things.
I know
off
it.
The bench, at the 50, in the pocket, mm-hmm. on the ground,
yeah. from downtown. Gio and Joe.
But listen to Will Brinton's Pick Six podcast.
Why can't you just have your name on it?
I said, Gio, we first started this. I said, all these things. Hey, we got a segment, man. We call it In the Trenches.
I deleted that email address, and I was like, I didn't get that. Sorry.
Fourth and go.
Bogish at the plate.
Do people like that stuff? Do they? Do people?
No,
do they
you're
eat
right.
That
it's
stuff
easy.
Up?
It's a good easy. Question.
I mean, I
don't know. I don't know the answer.
I asked my friend that, Andrew Filipponi, who does shows here. We were talking about somebody's horrible segment, whatever it was, you know. Some stupid benchmark segment. And I was like, are we missing the boat here on this? Are people? He's like, no, of course they don't like it. It's bull crap. But I don't know. Everybody seems to do it. It's either one of two things. People eat it up, or there's that much lack of creativity out there.
The one latter.
All right. Danny Canell.
The latter.
Of I'm not going to call it.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Canell and Bell. That's what I'm going to call it. Canell and Bell.
Off the bench, dog.
All right. He joined
us. Put him in the game.
What do you got, Bogus?
I've got this. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Savage has thrown a game-deciding interception.
Kevin Harlan on West would won that pick in a fumble and an earlier INT for the Texans QB in Baltimore on Monday Night Football. The Ravens a 23-16 victory. Once again, led by their defense, offensively rushing touchdowns from Buck Allen and Alex Collins, and three more Justin Tucker field goals. Baltimore 6-5, over 500 for the first time since October 8th. They own the second AFC wildcard this morning, winning a tiebreaker with the Bills. The NFL suspending Raiders wideout Michael Crabtree and Broncos corner Aqib Talib 2 games for Sunday's fight in Oakland, both expected to appeal. To the NBA, and the Kings beat the Warriors last night.
Shot clock at 5. Bogdanovich looking inside. Can't find anybody. Now he drives it against Draymond. Hangs. Shoots. Scores. Had a whistle. They're going to not. They will not count the basket. Take it away. What was the call? Offensive foul? Or did they? I am confused.
It'll be okay, Gary Gerald on Kings Radio. The basket was good from Bogdan Bojanovic. It counted, breaking a tie with 12.6 seconds to go. Sacramento a 110-106 win in Oakland. The Warriors did not have the injured Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. And UTEP basketball coach Tim Floyd retired immediately after last night's loss to Lamar. His minor is now 1-5 this season, boys.
All right, Bogus, thanks. And joining us right now, as we mentioned, Danny Cannell, now with CBS Sports as a college football analyst, and a brand new podcast is out there. It's Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. It's what, Brian?
Off the bench.
That's right, with Cannell.
Put me in, coach.
And Bell. Get him off the bench, yes. Damn it, for crying out loud. Put him in the friggin' game. All right, Danny, good morning. How are you?
What's up, fellas? How are you guys doing today? I heard about you guys. My head is still swirling from the college coaching carousel of head coaches that we're seeing go round and round as fast as we've ever seen it. It is absolutely nuts. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, it's silly season, like NASCAR, man, and the SEC in particular with, you know, all these different openings, and they haven't seen anything like this in about 70 years. But I wanted to start with your alma mater there at Florida State. Do you think Jimbo Fisher jumped ship? I understand he and the athletic director Stan Wilcox, they're not jiving on a couple issues there.
Yeah, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. It almost seems like a yearly occurrence that Jimbo, the rumors start to swirl that he's going to leave, whether it was Texas a couple years ago, whether it was LSU a couple years ago. It always seems like his name pops up. And then again, here we are with Texas A&M. I think Seminole fans are getting a little bit frustrated with where's the commitment to Jimbo. And I think the disagreement, the vibe that you're seeing between Stan Wilcox and Jimbo Fisher, I don't think it's about money anymore, as Jimbo's one of the highest paid coaches in college football. He's got one of the biggest buyouts in college football. I think it's about power. And mm-hmm. It's about Jimbo's loyalty to his staff, which several, you know, boosters and several, you know, administration, they want him to make changes to his staff, specifically a defensive coordinator and offensive line, and he doesn't want to make those. He wants to be able to call his own shot. So you're playing a dangerous game of chicken for both sides, because I think if you're Florida State, you don't want to lose a coach that brought you a national championship. And if you're Jimbo Fisher, I don't think he wants to leave. I don't, but I think he might. But I think you'd be crazy to leave Florida State. I think Texas A&M is a lower job than Florida State is. And I think you'd have a much greater chance for success in national championships playing in Tallahassee than you would in College Station. So I think it's a game of chicken right now. And I'm not sure. I don't know what happens, but it'll be crazy. And I'll say this. Nothing would surprise me. From what we've seen in college football, I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves. I wouldn't be surprised if he stays. I have no idea what's going to happen with these college coaches.
We're going to put Danny on hold for a second because I think we can get a better connection because the service isn't bad. It's just sort of like it sounds like he put his cell phone in a sock or something. So we're just going to see if he's on a headset or something like that, and we can work it out and get him back on the air with a little bit of better connection. So Danny is back on Gio and Jones. Danny Cannell with the Cannell and Bell Off the Bench podcast. You can check that out on iTunes, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. Danny Cannell. All right, let's say that the important people at Tennessee gave you a call, Danny, and said, listen, we botched this thing up. We think that you're the guy that could fix this, and we need your input on who to bring in and make this thing right. How would you go about doing that?
Oh, man, I tell you what, this is an absolute mess, and it's really made me irritated the way that shot down with Greg Schiano. I thought it was an embarrassment to the University of Tennessee, the way they, and really to their fan base. I thought it was embarrassing the way they brought down a man's reputation just because they didn't want him to be the head coach, just because his name wasn't John Gruden. And saying all that, I think John Perry, the athletic director's job, is in trouble. I think they're probably going to make a change there as well. Because you almost have to say, we're going to start clean. We're going to give you a fresh slate. We're going to give you somebody with no baggage and try to come in there. And it's going to take a boatload of money, and it's going to take a boatload of guarantees, because you're seeing a place that's as volatile a situation as we've seen in college football. And you're seeing coaches left and right, whether it was Matt Campbell at Iowa State saying no thanks, whether it was David Cutcliffe at Duke, they're all saying no thank you to that job. So it's going to be a real challenge. And I think it's going to take a lot of guaranteed money to get a head coach there at Knoxville.
Matt Luke there at Ole Miss, I thought that was the right move. I don't think anyone would want to touch that toxic situation there with the Rebels. So was it a fait accompli that he was going to be named the head coach?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure I probably kicked the tires on some people behind the scenes. But ultimately, I think when you saw what he was able to do, getting that team to 6-6, beating Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl, kind of salvaging a season which really lost, and keeping his players playing for him. That was all without his star quarterback for several games this season. I thought that had more to do with it, the fact that his players were still fighting for him. And I think it was the right hire for Ole Miss. I thought it was a smart move for them to say, all right, we've got a guy who's helped see us through some really tough times, so let's stick with him and give him a chance moving forward. And I think that was a no-brainer decision for Ole Miss, and I think he'll be happy with that in the long run.
Gio and Jones with Danny Cannell across the country on CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot that we will learn, I think, from these rankings that will come out tonight and how they still feel about Alabama. Do you think that there's any chance that if Wisconsin goes and beats Ohio State and wins the Big Ten championship and is an undefeated Power Five champion, that they will somehow be left out because of the arguments of strength of schedule or anything else that the committee wants to use?
Zero. Zero chance they get left out. And if they did, I think it would send a really bad message to college football fans across the country. I think Wisconsin, yes, their schedule has been light, but it hasn't been that much different than Alabama if you look at the totality of who they played. And you know what? They're a really good football team. They have the number one ranked defense in the country. They've got a running back who is probably going to be a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, and Jonathan Taylor. They've got a great coach in Paul Chris, and they have been handling their business. They've been compared somewhat to Iowa a couple years ago, he did the same thing, ran the table, and people thought they didn't deserve it because of their schedule. The difference was Iowa had a lot of close calls that played down to the competition. Wisconsin has dominated opponents throughout the year, and they beat quality opponents. So I think anybody who thinks Wisconsin wouldn't get in as undefeated Big Ten champ is crazy and doesn't know much about college football.
Who are your top four as we sit here this morning?
My top four, so I'll go with you the prediction of what I think will happen moving forward. So I think you'll have the SEC champ is a lock, and I think it'll be Auburn. I think Auburn's playing as good as anybody in the country. So I think that'll be their first lock. The ACC champion, I think, will be a lock as well. I think it'll be Clemson. I think Miami, we saw them. They've been playing with fire all season long. I think they finally got burned against Pitt, but I think even still if they beat Clemson, they would still get in. But I think the ACC champion is a lock. I think the Big 12 champ, if it's Oklahoma, which I think it will be with Baker Mayfield, I think he's the best player in the country, I think that's a lock. And then I do feel like the Big 10 champion, this is where it gets dicey. If it's Wisconsin, it's a lock, there's a four. If it's Ohio State, then it's a really interesting discussion that you have to have comparing Ohio State as a two-loss Big 10 champ to Alabama as a one-loss non-conference champ. It would drive me crazy because I don't think either team would deserve to be in there. I think you can make cases against either one of them. Ohio State, of course, would have several significant wins on their schedule, but they'd have some ugly losses. Oklahoma at home, and then the Iowa loss really stands out to you. It'd be 57-24. And then for Alabama, it's what's their best win on their schedule is their best performance in a loss to Auburn. It might be. So it's a really crazy one. But I don't know how you stand. I wish we could get to 8 teams because I really wish we could take committees and have them as union president that we call the playoff and, hey, let's pick who we think are the four best teams. I wish we could go to 8 teams, have 5 conference champs, 3 wild card picks, then you can let him play for it and try to take it out of the committee's hands, because I think somebody's going to get screwed every single year in this flawed system, and I just hate to see that happen to programs that have deserving chances to play with anybody in the country, especially years like this one, when there isn't really a great team to separate itself. You have a bunch of good teams, but no great ones.
Off the Bench with Cannell and Bell. Check it out. The new podcast. This is Danny Cannell, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. We appreciate the time, Danny. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. See you later. Danny Cannell, unfortunately, with a bad phone. So every other word. If you miss what he said about the college football playoff, it went something like this.
I agree with him. I've been advocating for an 8-team playoff.
You could hear him?
I could hear him. I understand mumbo-jumbo, mumble-rap, and 8-team playoff and have some at-large bids. I'm all for that. UCF, man, I'd love to see them in this thing if they can knock off Memphis again.
I am with Danny Cannell. I mentioned it yesterday how a friend and I had this discussion about the whole Wisconsin-Alabama thing and, you know, what the committee would do with that, and he insists that there's going to be people in there arguing for Alabama.
If Wisconsin wins the conference, right? Oh, are you crazy? Wisconsin's in.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, listen, but I just, but it makes me think, because this guy's real smart. It makes me think that there are some issues there.
What are the issues?
That the committee's going to look at Alabama and say, like, okay, what are we supposed to do here? We're supposed to find the best teams to compete for a championship.
Okay, Wisconsin's one of the best teams. Has one of the best defenses out there.
Who would be favored in that game?
I would favor Alabama.
Okay.
Because of the quarterback play. Because of Hornibrook. But I put that defense of Wisconsin's up against Alabama's defense.
Who's the better team?
Barely, by a smidge, Alabama.
All right. So then, is it that crazy to think there's going to be people in that room that are going to be arguing for Alabama if that's their job, to find the best team? Especially if Auburn goes and wins the SEC championship game. Then you're like, okay, so the hottest team in college football.
But they weren't the best team to beat a team with two losses already in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So were they the best team? They lost to a two-loss team in the Iron Bowl.
But it's different, though. See, that's why this whole committee thing is fascinating. Because you're looking at the teams like where they are right now, right? Now, I would be just livid if Wisconsin was left out. Just totally livid about it. But I don't think they will go that way. But if you think about the task of finding the four best teams to compete for the championship, if you polled most of the country, I think a lot of people would say that Alabama's a better team and would win in a head-to-head matchup. And if that is the case and that's what you're searching for, then why not put them in?
I think it would be 50-50. When you put Wisconsin against Alabama, both these defenses are stellar. I like Wisconsin's defense a hell of a lot. These guys can ball out. And offensively, the only knock on them offensively is the quarterback. And he didn't throw a pick last week versus Minnesota. Hallelujah. But that's the only knock on this football team. And they got the big boys up front, like Auburn mashed Alabama D-line. These guys can do. Now, they didn't mash them too bad. Alabama's D-line actually played pretty well. And even though Kerryon Johnson got over 100, he didn't run through them like he did Georgia's D-line. So it wouldn't be as clear-cut. Alabama, Wisconsin is a lot of people would lead you to think.
Okay. And I hope that they see it that way. But I know that Wisconsin's a big brand, but Alabama right now probably the biggest.
This committee, you're correct. They have said, we don't care about you not winning your division. We don't care about you not winning your conference championship. We're going to put you in this thing. That was Ohio State a year ago. But when you have a team like Wisconsin, especially if they can knock off Ohio State in the conference championship ball game, that have gone through their season unscathed, they can't control what they do to a certain extent, control their non-conference schedule. But as far as who they're playing in conference, they can't control that. And they still went through that thing unscathed. A team like Iowa coming off 55-point posting of Ohio State comes in and they do nothing. I mean, there's no way you overlook what Wisconsin's accomplished.
If Wisconsin does end up getting in and wins and beats Ohio State, then the argument for teams like Wisconsin in divisions and conferences that might be a little bit weaker than others is to never schedule a tough non-conference game. Honestly, never do it again. just schedule cupcakes and then get through your schedule undefeated and then win your
your championship game are not going to always be weak. You would hope not. Now you look at the SEC East. How weak is that?
Yeah,
that is very weak. And Georgia ran through there unscathed. The East, so no one's faulting them for playing a weak SEC East schedule.
Like, for example, if Penn State last year, who ended up losing to Pitt in, what, the second week of the season?
Yep.
If they had scheduled a FCS school in there and beaten them, they would have been in the college football playoff last year.
Yeah, because the only loss would probably be Michigan. But, I mean, it's hard to determine. Maybe they don't have the injuries in that versus that FCS opponent that they had versus Pitt, and then after that they were definitely decimated in at the linebacker position. It's hard to prove that. You don't know what's going to transpire, but if you get that victory,
it would have been a one loss champion.
Possibly, yeah.
No, I mean, what's what they would have put them in? I mean, that's what would have happened.
Well,
thought they should have been in.
I thought they should have been in.
And
anyway.
What kept them out last year?
The loss to Michigan.
Well, no, the fact that they had two losses.
Well, the fact they had two losses, but they still should have been in. They won the conference, and they beat Ohio State. But I'm saying it's hard to prove that. You don't know what's going to transpire, even if there had been an FCS opponent they played there.
But I don't think it's hard to prove. I think that if they would have had one loss, then it would have been to Michigan, and then they went in and won the Big Ten championship game, they would have been in. So if they scheduled an FCS opponent as opposed to doing the Pitt-Penn State thing, where it got caught up in that and lost that game, it would have been in the college football playoff. So to me, if you believe, subscribe to that, and you subscribe to the fact that Wisconsin's going to get in, never schedule a tough non-conference game.
You have to. You have to schedule them.
Why?
Schedule those tough non-conference games.
Why?
That helps your resume.
Does it?
Yes.
Well, it hurt Penn State last year.
Well,
they
didn't win it.
It would have hurt Wisconsin this year.
They didn't win it. Win it. Who's to say it would have hurt them this year if they had won it?
Well... I mean, but they didn't. That's
the
thing.
And they have.
And it's a guaranteed victory if you put a cupcake in there.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay. If you want to go to the playoffs, do it.
No, that's not true. I think you have to have a stellar non-conference record, and you can't help what your non-conference foes are dealing with from year to year. But I think you have to have that big win on your resume. And although Wisconsin, the great thing about Wisconsin, they have cachet. Is their cachet as illuminating as Alabama? No, but they still have the cachet. It seems like they're in the Big Ten Conference Championship game each and every year. They went to three or four Rose Bowls in a row.
Right, because that division is relatively weak every year.
Well, that division, maybe, but they have to have those crossover games. And I know they didn't beat Ohio State a year ago, but they still got into the championship game, and they were waxing Penn State until they weren't in that second half. So I think Wisconsin is in a fine position. Just win out, and you're going to be in.
We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I was thinking, there's another song I heard a lot of yesterday. A lot of this guy's songs is Macklemore, very similar, right? He gets the female singer to sing the hook that's really the thing that you want to hear, and then he comes on and does his rapping, and then that's that. Right? It's the same formula every time, isn't it? It's the same formula. Think about it.
I have a few of his songs. I don't know if he always has the female on there.
His latest tracks have.
A lot of them.
He's on one called Willy Wonka. I don't believe there's a female on there. It's a compilation with some other rappers. What's so funny about Willy Wonka?
Willy Wonka? What is Willy Wonka?
It's an old movie, Brian.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
No, I just feel like this radio hits because I don't get his whole album and go into the deep tracks like Willy Wonka or whatever else he has. Talk about the stuff that's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the same formula to me, you know? And he just keeps going back to that well, and I'm sick of it. Tired of it. Come up with a new thing, you know? Something new.
Willy Wonka.
Wonka. Is that on the radio? No, is that one of his radio songs?
Mm-mm.
Sunday, I watched a game at a sports bar. There was a kid with his mom in a Patriots jersey. He looked just like Augustus Gloop. And I even made the reference. He was just, let me in. I'm starving.
You made that reference to the kid? Did you?
No, I didn't say to the kid. I said to a friend next to me. I said, boy, that looks like Augustus Gloop.
You should have gone to the kid and said that.
But yeah, okay. Be like, hey, little fat German kid and Willy Wonka, you look just like him. Next cherry Coke's on me, buddy.
They still make cherry Coke?
Yeah.
Man, those were good. That was good stuff.
It still is good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah.
I haven't had a soda in a while.
You know that Willy Wonka song, the Wonka Vader song? I like that. Do, 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 do. I can see my house. Mm-hmm. Grandpa Joe. We've talked about this Willy Wonka stuff before in the
show.
Yes,
we have. Oompa Loompas and all that, yes.
And I really do believe I was one of the first people to really point out how creepy it is those grandparents just sat in that bed together.
Yep.
I mean, that has gotten it's gotten some play over the last couple of years, but mm-hmm. I really do believe I was one of the first people to point that out. Hmm. All they do, I mean, they're the laziest people in the world. They just sit in a bed.
They've been working all their lives.
But they just sit in a communal bed?
Yeah, like that?
No, that's weird.
They're resting.
They weren't working their whole lives.
You're going to get to that point. Which like, I'm tired. I'm just going to sit in the bed.
Just sit in the bed with other people,
put your gown on, and we're going to just sit in the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I hope we don't get to that point. I am tired all the time though, because of this schedule. But yeah. I'm not going to lay in a communal bed with a bunch of old people. Mm. I mean, that was the thing. They couldn't get their own beds. I guess they were poor.
Right? Yes,
that's why
it was
a big
poor,
deal,
right?
Getting the golden ticket. Yeah.
It was a village taking care of each other.
But still, if you can buy a bed that big, right, and get a mattress that big, mm-hmm. that's got to be expensive. You would think you
but
could
everyone
get...
chipped in.
Right, but you think you could get your own little twin bed for everybody as opposed to everybody being in the same bed.
That would have been the smarter move for the family.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they want to keep it in the family, keep it in the community.
Come on. What are you defending the Wonka grandparents?
The Poe people.
Or whatever they were. Charlie, what was his that last name?
Bucket.
Charlie, the Bucket. Right, the Buckets.
Bucket
I'm not sure. I mean, the Buckets were working their whole lives. They could only afford one bed.
Yes.
I mean, what a
tough back then, man.
I mean, come on.
It was really tough. They weren't like the bratty girl, you know, grew up sliding
Veruca
in the hole.
Yeah, but all right, fine.
She should have donated. Her family should have donated them a bed.
I mean, what are the Buckets doing with all this cash? You know, they must have made something.
And where's the dad?
Yeah, where is the dad? That is a good question. Brian?
He's probably hanging out with mine.
You finally find him one day. I'm Brian Jones Sr. and I'm Teddy Bucket. We hit it off one day. We have a lot in common.
Yeah, you do, you bastards. Where's my chocolate?
All right. Coming up next, a couple of good NFL stories. First of all, the NFL doesn't know how to suspend people. It's just they are the worst at that.
They're rolling dice on this stuff.
And speaking of movie references, oof. Chuck Pagano just went off on one yesterday. Great audio coming up next on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.